The Alabama Crimson Tide come to Rupp Arena and take the L as the Cats literally can't miss in one of the craziest offensive basketball games you'll see in a long time. Kentucky takes down Alabama 117-95. We'll talk about that today here at the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, how we doing?
I'm doing amazing. After a huge win like that, you know, I got a bunch of friends that root for Alabama too. So it always feels good for the Cats to show them that they're
roots for Alabama. Do you know?
John Hayden, AJ King, Bailey Sanders.
Does AJ listen? Does AJ listen to this?
AJ, yeah, AJ does.
All right, let's give him something real quick. Let one fly at him.
Nah, I'm not going to be too disrespectful. You know, it's basketball. They know their sport.
That was pretty cool. That was like a backhand. I like that. That was great. Well, they used to know their sport. They used to.
Oh, okay.
But enough of that. So this win, all kidding aside, I mean, first of all, one thing I want to add, Carson, and I know we're going to break this fully down, but I want to add the point that the 95, I was sitting up there in the press box and – you know, it was kind of like I looked down and Alabama had 60 points and we had like 92 or whatever, you know, whatever. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, they have 90. Like, it feels like in garbage time, they scored some points. So what I'm saying is I think this Kentucky team played good defense until they really didn't need to anymore. Listen, when you're up a million points and there's like 8 minutes left in the game, there's no reason to – you know what I mean? I'm cool with taking a little bit off. So what I'm saying is I think this score is a little tighter looking than it was in reality, in all honesty. But, I mean, the Justin Edwards game, Carson, what else can you call it but that? Let me know your thoughts on this big-time dub.
Yeah, that made me the happiest person on Saturday. Yeah. I mean, to see that kid, he statistically put up the best performance in the Cal era. I mean, he didn't miss a shot. That's statistic wise, not points or rebound wise, just statistically, he put up the most amount of shots without a miss in the Cal era. So the kid was on fire, and it makes me the happiest in the world to see that because he deserves it. He's been going through struggles. He even talked about in the post game, like we had brought up, we kind of assumed, but we didn't know for sure, but he was having mental struggles.
Yeah.
And Reed Shepherd said, he said that Reed helped guide him to like a therapist or someone that he could talk to and kind of work through those struggles. So it makes me so happy for that kid to see him and for him to have that performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And you know, what's funny. He missed that one free throw. He was one free throw away from having like, literally, I think, like one of the best performances in college basketball history. I think Christian Laettner did it. I shouldn't even have said that, but he did his stat line. He had one like that. I just made a lot of people mad. I shouldn't have brought that up. But no, the reason I'm bringing that up is because he had a stat line like that and it like hasn't been broken. And I have to see how many field goal attempts it was. But like if Justin Edwards would have made that free throw, he was 4 or 5. If he makes that free throw, it's literally like one of the best performances in college basketball history, not based on points, but based on the fact that he didn't miss. So, you know, one free throw away from really doing something historic. But I mean, it's bigger than the 28 points. It's bigger than the 10 for 10. It's, you know, here's the deal. We need this kid. I've written a ton of stuff over Wildcats today talking about, you know, in March, we see this happen all the time. There's always a player that maybe, you know, doesn't do all that much in the regular season, or, you know, it's kind of like average in the regular season, but then in March, they just kind of take that bump. You know, I mean, give me a Kentucky example of that, Carson. Well, give me a player that had a good March that was kind of unexpected. You got any for me?
I'm trying to think here. You might have to give me a second.
And they don't even have to have had a bad season. It's just they had to have like, okay, they were averaging 8 points a game, and then in March, they gave you 15. Like,
but honestly, I know he had a really good season, but I think he even turned it on up more of a notch in March. Mm-hmm. I think De'Aaron Fox, I mean, he dropped 40 points against Lonzo Ball, or 39, but
yeah,
40 points against Lonzo Ball in the second round or whatever. But I think he turned it up a notch because he started hitting that long mid-range and three-point jumper later in the season. So I thought he turned it around in March. There's a couple other guys. I'm still trying to think, but that's one example.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about We're talking about Big Z too. I want to get deeper into that conversation. But I mean, you know, back to the Edwards thing. I mean, it's just good for him. I mean, really good for bigger than basketball. This is bigger than anything. This is flat out. This is just really good for this young man. I told you, I saw it in warmups. I mean, he was, you could tell he was struggling. He was missing. He was airballing shots that a Division I basketball player shouldn't be airballing. And it was one of those things where I said it on the show. I mean, it's between the ears. This was not a ham thing. This was he was in his head. It sounds like he's figuring it out. He's figuring himself out and he's playing better basketball. Okay. I pulled a stat. Now I got to find it. Oh, here you go. I got it. I do got it right here. Look at that. I have all my pieces of paper from everything I do. This is from an article.
You got it?
Huh?
You do got it?
Okay. That's going to do it for today. we'll see you next time. But in his last seven games, what is Justin Edwards shooting from the three-point line? Carson.
56%.
Incorrect.
What 50%.
I was hoping you'd say like 42%. So then the number I said sounded better than
how many games was it? Because I saw a stat that had him at 56%.
Well, I mean, I counted here 4-for-4, 3-for-4, 0-for-1, 0-for-1, 1-for-3, 1-for-3, 1-for-4.
Because he's shooting, I think he's shooting around like 60 something from the field.
Maybe the field. I'm just telling you, I counted all the games. Last seven games, he's made 10, he's taken 20. Which, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting you.
I know I'm kidding. But now how many points is he averaging in that same span?
I think he's averaging probably around 12.
There you go. 12.1 points per game. In his last, now I'm checking myself. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5.
Because
I was right. 4-for-4, 3-for-4, 0-for-1, 0-for-1, 1-for-3, 1-for-3, 1-for-4. That's 10-for-20. Yeah. Boom. Bang. So, point is, he's playing better basketball. I mean, you know, averaging, obviously, the 28 point game here and the 17 point game against Vandy kind of boosted those numbers a little bit. But the point is, I mean, even in this game, you know, again, Ole Miss, he's got 12 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, a couple steals, shoots 80%, or, you know, he was 3-for-8 from the field in that game. Or no, sorry, 4-for-7 in the field for that game. I mean, the point here is he's playing better basketball. And what I'm asking from Justin Edwards is him to just give you 11 points in March, 10 points. Have maybe a game that gives you 15. If he can do that, because we know what you're going to get from Rob and from Reed and from Antonio Reeves and now kind of from Adu. We know you're getting offense from other places, but if the guys who aren't giving you much, you know, start giving you double digits, that's when the best, in my opinion, obviously KenPom doesn't back that right now, but the best offense of college basketball becomes even better. So, I mean, Carson – what other play? I mean, well, talk to me about Big Z. Talk me, you know, either gas me up on him or take me down to earth on him because I'm ready to spit some fire on Big Z.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited to hear that fire. But I like Big Z. I think Big Z has definitely solidified his, he's at least number two on the center depth chart. He's at least there or behind Ugonna. I think Bradshaw will have to have a different conversation about. But I think this game and, the perfect part is that you have Ugo and Z for different games. And I think this was just a Z game because it's an up and down pace, offensive battle.
They don't have big guys. Alabama.
He's elite offensively.
Yeah.
Z is elite offense. His passing, that behind the back pass to Adu, I know he didn't make the dunk, but that was one of the best passes I've ever seen. If Adu dunks that, the place is going to collapse. Mm-hmm. But, he's so elite offensively. Now he's not the best defender, and he makes cheap fouls. Yeah. He makes cheap fouls. But with them playing Grant Nelson as their big, I think it fit perfectly with Big Z in there. And I mean, Ugo gave you good minutes too. I thought Ugo defended very well. So no knocking Ugo at all. I just thought Big Z had more of a chance to get his feel out through this game. So I thought Big Z played awesome, and he was definitely a key part of this team and during this game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, once again, Ugo, I mean, 2-for-2. I mean, he didn't miss a shot. He had a rebound, a couple personal fouls, 5 points. You know, we'll take that. But, you know, here's my rant on Big Z. I don't think there is any way in the world And listen, I'm, you know, Bradshaw, did you see he got that tattoo that says, was it patience that said?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Aaron Bradshaw. So he's, I think he's gonna be a great basketball player, but I don't think he's there yet physically. Yeah. I think he's, you know, 20 pounds of muscle away from being what Big Z is. I mean, what do they have? Okay, they have Z listed at 234 pounds. What do they have Bradshaw listed at? 226. I don't know if I believe that because Z looks more.
Z's filled out more.
Filled out where he can kind of hold his own. Bradshaw's got to gain a little bit of muscle, and I think he's going to be a great player. Whether that's he try, you know, goes pro, whether he transfers, whether it's at Kentucky, whatever he does, he's going to be a good basketball player. I believe that. But I think right now, knowing that Bradshaw doesn't really give you much defense, in all honesty, at one point, I thought that Z and Bradshaw gave you about the same thing on defense. Now, I mean, when you look at the blocks, I think Z, I'd rather Z out there defense-wise. And then you add on top of that the offense. You know, there's no question. There's no question what, you know, you should be doing. Now, we're going to break down the Mississippi State game. That's a Hugo game. You got Tolu Smith banging around down there, big guy, strong center, you know. That's a Hugo type of game. Now, obviously, Big Z is going to play some minutes, but I just think you can't not have Zvonimir Visage on the floor. Now, listen, Carson needs to do some stupid stuff. That's going to happen. He's going to get dunked on. It's going to happen. He's going to get put on a spin cycle and then go, you know, I mean, it's going to happen. But what he, you know, if he gives up 7 points but then scores 18, I will take that. He's going to give you offensive production. I am a big Z guy. I just think there's no excuse to not have him on the floor. I mean, he's 7 for 11 in this game, 1 of 3 from deep, 5 rebounds, 18 points, 4 blocks. I mean, you know, I mean, what else can you really ask for from a guy? He played 20 minutes. That's 20 minutes. That's a couple, you know, almost a point per minute nearly. So I think he's got to be on the floor. Now, I'm not saying don't play Hugo. I'm saying I want Z and Hugo to be the big guys. That's what I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mind playing them both a little bit. You know, I mean, it depends on
who you're playing.
Yeah. But I mean, you would have to have you, if you did that, you would have to have like Reed, Rob, and Antonio Reeves in.
Yeah.
If you were going to do that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Carson, here's the deal. I mean, there's no way to wrap around it other than this is a huge win. Helps you when it comes to being a top 4 seed in the SEC tournament. This is going to help you in seeding for the NCAA tournament. It's a huge win. So, I mean, other thoughts from this game?
Yeah, so I know we had talked about Justin and everything, how good he was. The two spark moments for him, you know, those runouts, they both were because of his defense. So he got that back tip on the guy, then threw the ball to Reed to dunk it. And then the very next play, he read the dude was open for a layup. And Justin went down for the help that we have not seen in how many games. We're finally starting to have help defense. He comes across, steals it, and then it gets back to him and he hits the three-pointer and got fouled and then hit the free throw. But I think the reason why Justin Edwards will continue to be good for this team and continue to get better from where he's at now is because he's picking it up on defense. And I'm a firm believer in that's where he makes his money because he is a great defender. But I also wanted to say, so the lineup, you know, we had that big run there in the second, at the beginning of the second half. The lineup that was on the court actually was a mixture of Big Z, Justin Edwards at the 4, Reeves, Rob, and Reed. So that's kind of your kill lineup, right? That's we're gonna outscore you. That's that lineup right there, and it worked. I mean, they could not contain us at all when that lineup was on the court.
Yeah, all right. I want to talk about somebody else. I'm trying to decide. I guess I'm a big everybody guy on the team. I'm trying Adu Fierro, man. I mean, he's turning into Antonio Reeves, where it's just cool, calm, and consistent. Listen to his last 5 games. 5 games. 12 points, 8 points, 14, 4 points against Ole Miss, and then 15 against Gonzaga. I mean, and that's shooting, you know, pretty good numbers from the field. He's listen to rebounds. 5-5-8-9-1 assists, 2-2-1-1-2 blocks, 1-4-0-0-3. I mean, he's giving you full stat lines.
And not to mention, if his foot wasn't on the line, he would have been 3-for-3 from three.
Yeah, which, yeah, I'd forgotten about. I've forgotten that he, you know, he made that long one. If he starts adding that, good.
If him and Justin start shooting threes good, it's over. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
If both those guys start shooting, you can't guard us at all.
And for Adu, that's bigger than just this season for Kentucky. That's he's gonna make a lot of money at the next level.
A lot of money.
Start shooting the ball like that. Mm. I mean, this is one of those games, Carson. I think we could sit here and just talk about this game for just an hour. I mean, everything offensively. Literally, and what's that mean down to the last minute detail? I mean, it was perfect. It was like 1.5 points per possession almost, which is like insane.
We beat Bama playing like Bama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we ran them off the court.
They had 16. They only attempted 17 threes and made.
We ran them off the line really well.
Mm hmm. Exactly. That was the whole game plan. I mean, and we said it on the show.
Yeah,
you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know how to defend Alabama. You have to extend the three-point line, run them off your point line. You can't let them – because they love to walk into threes, you know, in transition. They love to. You can't let them do it. We stayed with their guys all game. And once again, you know, the numbers because of – the garbage time are gonna look a little bit. Oh, we give up 95 points. Yes, but I mean, I think if they kept that intensity in garbage time, they probably allow 80 to a team that averages 91 or whatever. So, and I mean, there's no excuse for it. But in all honesty, I'd rather keep people healthy. Not and who cares? You won the game by what, 23 points? I don't care. So, I mean, that's just an all around great, incredible win for the Kentucky Wildcats. I don't know what else to say in all honesty. I mean, this is just a huge win. You needed one. You needed the quad one win. The LSU win, I mean, it was a kick in the face. It was a roundhouse, just scissor kick right between the eyes. And then this win over Bama makes you feel better about it. Now, I mean, I want to take that as the transition. Do you have anything else to say about this game, Carson, before we get into the Mississippi State game?
Not really, no. But I will say that I think the LSU loss, you could go back and look at that if this season pans out the way I think it might and be like, that's the turning point.
Yeah, I'm with – now here's the deal. This is my concern. And people are going to yell and scream about this, which is fair. But my point here is this. I think you come off the emotional high of beating Auburn, you know, road win, huge win, people camped outside, people hanging from rafters without shirts on. I mean, this is just the reality of what went on. And then you go play LSU on the road and you lose. Now, I get it. You know, we could sit here and argue, oh, they should have won that game. You get a huge win over Alabama on Saturday. You can't. Mississippi State is a good basketball team. They're not elite. They're not, they're good. You know, I mean, they're like I think LSU's in. I can't give you like a, you know, like the scale of sauces at B-dubs. It's like the hot, like, I mean, I'm trying to give you that of like good, great, but like LSU.
Yeah, like a McDonald's burger. A McDonald's burger is good.
Well, it used to be. And then they started putting all the onions in there when they make them and just ruin everything.
You can get them all. You can take them all.
No, you can't, Carson. Do you know nothing about Mickey D's? Evidently.
Sorry, I'm not an insider on Mickey D's.
Well, I mean, I'm not either. but I just think so. Like LSU, I think is a quality basketball team. If I had to rank them out of four, rank them out of 10 and give them a 4 or 5. I'd say Mississippi State's probably a 7. You know, on that kind of scale, they're a good basketball team. The numbers back it. Listen to this. Now I've lost my sheet because I grabbed my other sheet. Okay, here you go. Mississippi State is 28th in the net rankings. They're 3-6 in quad one games. They are 28th in KenPom, 74 in offense, 11 in defense. This is a good basketball team. I mean, if they beat Kentucky, if they win tomorrow, I don't know who they play on Saturday, but if they win tomorrow and win, they're likely ranked on Monday. So next Monday, that is. So, you know, point is, this is a good team that you're going to their place, not the easiest place to play. So, I mean, you have got to come out. You can't, well, we just steamrolled Alabama. You did, but you can't take the foot off the gas. If you win this game against Mississippi, I mean, Mississippi State, I feel pretty confident you're a top four seed in the SEC tournament, which does matter. And then I feel pretty confident that even with a loss, if you were to lose to Tennessee and Knoxville, I feel confident that you're, you know, you've put yourself in a good spot seed-wise for the NCAA tournament. So, Carson, what are your early thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said we were talking about the tournament, because you're going to want that double bye. Because the SEC is a gauntlet this season. I mean, teams are losing left and right to everybody. So you can get beat by anybody on any given night in this conference. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to close out the season strong. Even if you drop the one in Knoxville, I think you should be all right. But you're going to want to win all the rest of them. And I think this game's going to be tough. I mean, you already saw it sold out. They're doing a wide out like normal. They've done it every single year since Cal's been here. They've had a theme. I look back on that, but they're 0-7. They're 0-7 in those games, by the way.
Hammer the money line. Kentucky money line. Hammer.
But, so they're going to give it their all, and they have some studs. Tolu Smith is a beast.
Incredible.
He's a beast. So Hugo's going to have to step up and continue to play really good defense for us containing him. Mm-hmm. Our offense is going to just have to continue what they're doing. You know, they're elite. But you got to contain Hubbard off the bench. I mean,
he's starting now.
Okay.
Yeah, they made that change. He wasn't when they came to Rupp.
Yeah, so you got to contain Hubbard in general. He's a scorer. He's a threat. He's very much of a threat in a road environment where his fans are going to be wanting him to shoot the ball. So he's going to be a big threat. So the defense has to step up and continue to play well. But the offense just has to continue to be elite.
Yeah. Mississippi State, you know, like you said, the number 11 defense in KenPom. So, I mean, it's an elite offense versus an elite defense and, you know, okay offense against an okay defense when it, you know, matchup wise. So, Hugo is going to have to slow Tolu Smith. No question there. In all honesty, if you look at their, I mean, the only players averaging 10-plus points for Mississippi State are Hubbard and Tolu Smith. And then Cameron Matthews is right under 9.6. But, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, their top five scorers after Hubbard, it's Matthews 9.6, Moore 8.7, Murphy 6.7, Davis 6.2, Jeffries 6.0. So, like, you know, they not a lot of points per game. So, you know, but you also don't want this to turn into the Tennessee game where, like, the other guys, you know, beat you, not Dalton. So, I mean, it's a pretty simple game to me. You got to slow Tolu Smith. You got to make sure you're playing defense on Hubbard. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure he's a 5'10 guard. DJ, 6'4. Robin Reed, 6'2", 6'3", you know, Antonio, 6'6". Get hands. If you can get hands.
And to be fair, they've done a pretty good job this season of guarding the little guards. I mean, Ziegler went nuts, but I think that was more off of they got penetrated. He found himself open. The Tennessee game, you know, we're not going to break that down, right? We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
But we did a really good job on Sears. I thought we did. We took him out of the game in the first half, and that kind of
– it was funny because he had – 20, but it was like the quietest, like never like a he never had like a big
it was ne- he was never a problem in the game.
Yeah,
like he was never,
and he had like probably 12 in the second half when it was already like
he had
a lot late when it didn't matter.
Yeah, garbage time points when
he had a lot of garbage time points. Over. I believe he had like 8 garbage time points. So like, Kentucky did hold him down.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I said, this is a game where you got to rebound the basketball. I want to see what happened last time on the boards between. I'm going to pull up this game from last time. I know Kentucky won that one 90-77 in Rupp Arena. Tolu Smith had 26 points. He was 11 of 15 from the field. Reeves has 27 to one up him. and let me see. Rebounds actually they were even 33-33 both teams. They had two more assists than Kentucky, 22-20. Kentucky only made 7 3-pointers compared to their 9. This game must have been won at the free throw line then. Yep, this game was won at the free throw line. Mississippi State shot 10 free throws, made 6 of them. Kentucky shot 27 and made 23 of them, which you'll take that every time.
That's a good percentage.
So, this game was won at the free throw line for Kentucky. So, I mean, you know, remember that. You only make 7 threes. Take the ball to the rim. See if they'll foul you. Get some fouls on Tolu Smith, on some of their big guys. So, I mean, Carson, I mean, you got anything else before we talk about some score predictions and MVP-related stuff?
No, you really just have to focus on Tolu and Hubbard on the offensive end, and everything else should work out in your favor. I mean, those two guys are the two that can really beat you.
I want to talk about one more thing, not really related to Mississippi State, but in the way it is, and then we'll do score predictions. What are your thoughts on DJ Wagner, where we sit right now?
I'm a little worried about him more now than I was after last game, just because I don't think his decision-making was all that good in the Alabama game when he's on the court. And you can control. You can't control the other things. I feel like the decision-making should be something that he should be really good at. That and defense. I feel like DJ's, those are his, should be two of his best traits. And he was good on defense. I thought he was pretty good on defense in the game of Garden Spears.
And that helps. But what I'm saying is there's going to be – I'm not saying defense doesn't matter because we know it does matter. But what I am saying is in March, you're going to need DJ Wagner to score the basketball or he can't play. I mean, you know, that's the reality here. It's one of those where, like, I'm not sitting here – I don't want to say change the lineup because – there's just no I don't think there's a need at this point in the year to do that. But I think when this team is best is when Rob's giving you 15, Reed's giving you 11, and DJ's giving you 12. Like, I mean, when all three of them are getting involved.
Listen to this stat. The best lineup, the three best players on the team rating-wise that should be in, Reed, Rob, and Justin Edwards. That's the highest rated. And Justin might surprise you, but
yeah,
that's – based on statistics, that's the highest graded lineup that we have.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say about DJ. I mean, 1-7 this game, 0-4 from three. It's like, hey, stop, you know, shooting them. And it's funny because none of them are like in and out. They're like all like, you know, pretty brick. They're bricks. I don't have.
And maybe we're running into a second Justin Edwards situation because. Yeah. I mean, DJ was not a bad shooter at the beginning of the season. He wasn't. He was shooting pretty good. And then now he's running into where he can't make anything. He's having some serious struggles. And I think some of it might be mental, too. I know the injury happened, and I think it could also be mental, too.
He's shooting 25.7% on the year from deep. And that, I mean, here's the deal. That is going to hurt his draft stock. He's got to be able to shoot the basketball. But also, I mean, but when it comes to right now, which is what we care about and are discussing, which is Kentucky basketball, he needs to stop shooting the basketball and go to the rim.
Yeah.
Because he's with the way that his shots are hitting the backboard and we haven't been, it feels like we never get an offensive rebound on his, you know, hard hit rim three.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're basically a turnover. I used to say that about Shavier Wheeler all the time. When he shoots the ball, it is a turnover. Because it is a brick, and they will get a rebound.
In a run-out.
DJ Wagner needs to start driving the basketball, which we know he can do that, and passing. You know, if he can prove that, an NBA team will take a shot on him knowing, okay, he can develop this shot. We know he can do it. Maybe he's in his head. But he's got to prove he can do those two things. He needs to stop. I don't know if continuing to shoot is going to get you out of it. I think seeing the ball go through the hoop, whether it's on a layup, whatever, is going to get you out of it because you're going to see it go through and it's mental. So, I mean, here's the deal. DJ needs to get to playing better before March because we need him. That's the reality here. This is just like we said with Justin, we were kind of having to knock his play. We're not trying to do this. We're saying, hey, we need you. We need DJ to play well. So he's got to get out of this slump and get himself going before postseason play gets here. And heck, what, four games, right? Three games? Four games. Yeah.
We're getting close.
You know, we're almost there. So he's got four games really to get himself right. So.
Yeah, selection Sunday is about 3 weeks away.
I know. I know. We're going to do a live show for that, Carson, aren't we? Is that what we're going to do that?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
We're going to do that. It's going to be great. Give me an MVP and a score prediction for this Mississippi State game, and then we're going to call it a day. You want to tell everybody what you did this weekend?
Well, I went down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and enjoyed myself. Had a good weekend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Get anything reckless at Aldine's?
No, it was calm. We didn't drink anything alcoholic or nothing.
Did the top stay on the whole time there? And no. I need an honest answer.
No, it didn't.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear. The people needed to know that. Okay.
But so I got for MVP, I think we're going to have a Rob Dillingham performance where he goes over 20. I think Rob on the road. Road Rob. He goes nuts on the road. Yeah.
I had Rob.
But Road Rob is going to lead us to a 90-78 win over Mississippi State. I think it's similar to the last game. I think we are the better team. I think their crowd will be good. It's not going to be crazy. I think we do get it done down there. I think we're starting to pick up some steam and carry that over to a good road win.
Yeah. And what did you say your score was again? I know you said Rob.
90-78.
I have it a little tighter than you do.
Okay.
I have 78-73 Kentucky wins. I also had Rob Dillingham, but I'm going to say you go, since we just talked about it, slowing Tolu Smith is going to be everything in this game. So Rob, I think Rob, you know, he does do well on the road. He does do well when the offense doesn't need to be going and Rob can just close his eyes and just throw the ball and it goes in the hoop.
And it goes in. Yeah. I mean, talk about the layup that he had in the Bama game. I mean,
you mean the LSU one? Is that the one you're talking about?
No. The Bama one where he throws it up left-handed, hits off the top of the
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the one against LSU where that one was like punched even, in the face. And like,
yeah. That one was more skilled. Awesome. That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. did the top stay on? I can't get over that. Okay. I'm going to go with Hugo. I think stopping Tolu Smith is going to be huge in this game. I think it's going to be everything. So, Hugo's got to play well. But I do think Kentucky gets the win. And I think if they get this win, because we know I'm not really worried about, I mean, who's still got to come to Lexington? I'm going to go to Knoxville. Let me pull it. It's Arkansas and Vandy. I feel pretty confident winning those two.
Yeah. Games.
So, if you can win this game, worst case scenario, I think you're going to finish these last 4-3-1.
Yeah.
Best case would be 4-0. So mm-hmm. win this game. And all you would need really is, you know, South Carolina, Florida to drop a game because mm-hmm. are you tied with Florida? Yeah, you're tied with Florida. If you can go and they still have to host Missouri, which is a win, and they go to Vandy, which is a win, but they play South Carolina on the road and Bam at home. All you got to do is just hope that Florida can go 0-2 in those two games. You go 3-1. Even with the loss to Tennessee, you got that. You got that 4 seed, which is going to be important. But yeah, anything else, Carson? Call today.
No, that's all I got. A good win there. We definitely needed that one. Very uplifting, and I think the Cats are going to get it done and beat up on some Bulldogs.
Exactly. Well, we will have a post game for this while also previewing. The upcoming game. So we're going to sit here. Why have I forgotten who we play now? Who do we play on Saturday? Is it Arkansas? It's Arkansas.
It's Arkansas, yeah.
I just want to make sure. So
yeah.
On Thursday or either Wednesday or Thursday, we will have a probably Thursday. We will have a post game on this, and then we will preview the Arkansas game, break down what happened, hopefully in a big Kentucky win, and then preview the Hogs coming to town. But that is going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day today. Yep, you see the buttons. We put them there. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Tell a friend about the show. You know, word of mouth, marketing, love it, helps.
Yep.
So appreciate y'all that listen every day, comment. We really do. It means a lot to us.
It does. It's awesome.
Seriously. Everybody have a great rest of your day today, and we will see you for a little post game. We will see you next time.